Day Buffet, sorry to keep you waiting. Your table is ready for How You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop music commentary. My name is Chuck Jose, and each week we take a brand new release and we let you know what we think about it. You can catch more episodes of How You Can Eat on all of your favorite podcast platforms, except for Google Podcasts, because I think Google just shut that down in favor of YouTube Music. So RIP Google Podcasts. But of course, you can go to the other, you know, other services to get us there. You can even follow us at How You Can Eat on all of your favorite social media platforms. I highly recommend you follow us on Instagram because that's the only platform that's getting updated right now. So do that. And of course, you can email us howyoucaneat@gmail.com. We would love to hear anything you have to say about the show, any feedback, any requests. If you want to be a part of the show, email us. We would love to have you on. We could definitely use less Filipinos, I think. I think the quota, there's three of us, so we would love, you know, other cultures. But if you're Filipino and you want to join, you can be a part of it. When has the world ever said there's too many Filipinos? I don't think so. There's never enough. So do that. Email us. And yes, the show is normally hosted by three wonderful co-leaders, but you know what? We're being on brand. We're being trendy, or we're continuing a trend where you have three of us for 1 week, and then you have two of us for another week. So we're continuing that trend. But I'm here. I'm usually the one that's gone. Are you wondering who the other co-leader is? I bet you are, and I bet you can't guess who it is. Just kidding. It's a Ham episode, everybody. Woo! Ham is back. Alan Mark is the other co-leader. How are you doing, sir? You are looking wonderful in this daylight. We finally can record earlier in the day. Oddly enough, we should record later if we don't include Steven. But for some reason, we're recording earlier. if anything, it's more convenient for Steven now. So...
Well, you're.
But how are you doing?
You had the pleasantries of getting let go of jury duty early.
I know. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I saw all the things. I'm not saying it's 100% like being called for active duty. That not the same. But like, imagine if there was like a lottery and you had to be chosen either to go to war or not. I think the feeling I had was almost equivalent to not being chosen to, die, I guess.
How close were you to being chosen, or were you just so far back? And
not even close. It was wonderful. It was like, they said 6 p.m. the night before, check the website. So I checked the website, and there's like a whole barrage of people, or like groups saying, a call back tomorrow at 11. So then call back or check the website. So I wait. And then I check around like 11:17. Everyone was excused. I bet we were all cheering. Like, I could just feel the energy, just the sigh of relief.
Nice.
People could just go on with the rest of the day doing normal things. I have never, I don't want to jinx it, but the closest I've ever gotten was being in the room. Oddly enough, James Marsden was there too. It was really weird. It was a really weird, really weird selection of people. But I was in the room and had to wait until the very end, and then was like excused. And I was like, finally. So like, that was the closest I've ever gotten.
But, yeah. For me, I was called in like last year, like I think it was like August or September. And then, like, after they made us fill out the like a survey or something, just so they could get initial information on each of us, when we were called in the next day, I was like 14th, so I was like on the road to be the
you were actually like interviewed.
Yeah, dude. So I was like in the row for like alternate jurors.
Oh yeah.
So they went like asked questions of each of us individually. So like for the first 12 that were there, they're like, okay, yeah, all 12 of them are good to stay. Now it's just about choosing the alternates. I was 14th, and I was they got to me and they're like, you're good, you can leave. So I must have put something in my survey that made them be like, nope, not you, get out of here.
I mean, there's so many things you could do. I was I saw this TikTok like of some I don't know how to describe these kind of people, like some sort of knowledge expert. I guess he was an attorney and he was kind of giving advice on things, but he was saying in order to get out of jury duty, just say you don't want to get out there. Just
say you don't want to be there.
Just don't want to be there, and like you don't believe in anything. You just like be as like participatory as possible, and you'll get out of it. And so it cut to another person who was like splicing the video into theirs, and she was saying this method works. When she was asked, because she was like she really wanted to be in the juror, but she wanted to, you know, do a murder case or, you know, something like high profile, or, you know, just something interesting. She got stuck with an intellectual property battle.
Oh, I've seen that video. Just
two, two whatever companies. And then she's like, when she was asked
if about anything, the case. Yeah, about your bias or anything, right? Yeah, it's like, I don't believe in intellectual property.
You're gone. It's so good. I don't wish to get that opportunity to present an answer like that, but I just thought about that the whole time. Just thinking, like, I got to answer in a way like that. It's like, you're part of a murder trial, and you're like, sorry, I don't believe in murder. So you're like, what? I don't know. So you don't think this person's dead? Who knows? Is Tupac dead? Anyway, so I got out of it. That's great. aside from me, how are you doing?
I'm doing
on this fine, beautiful day.
Pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Nice.
Lately, I've been getting back into cooking more often and consistently. So,
wow.
I think my body has been thankful for that. So I've been feeling pretty good. Other than that, though, I don't have a lot to report on my end. It's just,
you know, same. It's only been a week.
Yeah, besides the stuff I'm going to plug later. But yeah.
I wanna dive a little bit deeper into this cooking thing, because we are How You Can Eat, of course.
Oh yeah, of course.
We are a K-pop podcast, but we are food adjacent for sure. So, let's give them an How You Can Hear segment. If eating is music, hearing is consuming, I guess. I think that analogy checks out. So, yeah. How You Can Hear. What are you sticking to, a cuisine? Are you kind of just doing easy meals? Are you doing healthy meals? Are you just eating what you would normally order, but just make it yourself?
Nah, it's just like
what's your path?
A little bit still like kind of easy. I'm just like, whenever I grocery shop, I just choose ingredients. I'm like, I know I can make stuff with this without really like planning that this is going to be it. And also just trying to make sure that any food that I still have that I need to cook ends up getting cooked. So it's like, if I know I have like some sausages in the freezer, I'm like, okay, let me cut those up and throw that into my red pasta, you know? But
look at you, economical.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't really like plan too much ahead. But I've been like trying to do more like healthier stuff. Opting for like impossible meat over like just standard ground beef for making like patties and stuff, and then just match that with some good potatoes and
Sounds so good. I didn't have lunch.
Collard greens also. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I always skew towards healthy. I try to get the healthier option. And I've seen a lot of cookbooks and a lot of blogs who are just, you basically have to just accept the fact that we live in a world where the healthier you eat, the more you're going to have to pay. You have to pay the healthy tax. So I'm all for impossible meat. I'm all for alternative stuff because I just feel like, for me, it's like, if you can trick my brain, I'll eat whatever healthy stuff you can give. But like, it's the moment where it just tastes like I'm eating grass. Like, I kind of have to like draw the line there. So like, I'm a big fan of Impossible.
Yeah. Well, even then, impossible I think I actually like the flavor of the Impossible meat because it's like, it doesn't taste like the same as like ground beef to me. But it's like, I enjoy whatever flavors are in there more than I would like just regular ass meat. So that works out, like that works out even better for me.
My favorite thing is to turn a healthy thing unhealthy. That's also like by adding butter or something like that. It's just something. It's just anything with butter is good. Yeah. But yeah, I'm curious to hear more about your cooking adventures because I want to, because my toxic trait is I like to buy cookbooks as like coffee table books and I never ever cook from them except aside from like a few recipes here and there. I'm not like these pages are still crisp. Like I might make three things out of it because it's just like, especially the fancier cookbooks, they always like they give you 90% attainable ingredients and then the other 10% is like, where do I even get like, what do I have to go to like a medicinal like shop for like these certain herbs or something like that. Like it just feels like, I just need like a straight, simple, like whatever I can get at Safeway or whatever grocery you go to. That's what I need. And because I think for me, it's like the simpler, the easier it is for me to make and for the easier for me to be consistent making those meals. Cause like, but then again, I guess like, are you doing like, are you choosing a day where you have like a really fancy recipe in your hand or in your pockets?
It's really just based off of time because like,
yeah,
it's like what, how much energy and time do I have in my, in, with this ADHD brain that I'm able to do this?
Totally. So
that's how I usually plan around when I,
my wife, Nat, that's to the listeners. Alamark, I know you know who Nat is, but my wife, Nat, she sent me this reel about, like I forget what it was called, but it's just like spatial or something awareness, like something wait, special awareness. I forget what it was exactly, but it's just basically how your neurodivergent ADHD brain perform certain tasks. It was just three tasks. It was like how you always go to the bathroom at the very last second, like where you just can't hold it anymore. How you forget to eat lunch. Mm-hmm. And what was the third one? I forget. Anyway, so yeah, I that just reminded me. Are you finding yourself like forgetting to eat lunch, or is just more like I like the time to acquire food and put it in your mouth. Like
it
that,
helps.
That becomes the.
For me, it helps that I'm also feeding April,
friend of the pod,
because that sort of is the like that helps me keep on a actual timeline of like, oh, I should prepare lunch or start making lunch because when it's just like me by myself, then yeah, I'll absolutely forget to eat at the right times.
That's good. I mean, everyone needs their little. No, trick, I guess.
Yeah.
yours is an actual human being.
The time blindness is like a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, oh boy. Anyway, that was I love that intro that we just did. We never really get to like just sit down and talk
about
each other. So it's always, I always feel rushed to get to Steven because he's like always waiting in the wings just with a big smile on his face. And I just like, I'm happy to like take the time to just sit down with you and let the people get to know us together. Yeah. Ham, which arguably might be one of the three best subunits of How You Can Eat. So just saying.
One of them, at least.
Yeah, what? I won't rank them, but it's clearly spam. I mean, that name is just easily number one. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about K-pop. We, of course, don't have Steven. So usually at this part of the pod, we have a wonderful segment that we call Steven Specials of the Week. But since Steven is not here, one of us is going to have to perform that task instead. And we all know Alan Mark takes the second segment where we kind of go over the group. So who's going to take over the first segment? It's also Alan Mark. So we want to share some love to the other dishes, other treats that you're able to dine, feast on this week, aside from the album or the group we're covering. So we do that in a segment, in a new segment we call Alan Mark's Specials of the Week. No, I wasn't going to come up with a new
one. I thought you were going to say Alan Mark's Steven Specials of the Week.
Steven Specials of the Week, starring Alan Mark.
Presented by go. Alan Mark.
Presented by Capital One and Alan Mark. Yes. You're not even first on the bill.
Yes.
Take it away, dude.
Thank you. Yes, this week, it'll be me, Alan Mark. I let it in weird. But yeah, this time I got what you want. I got what you need. Here are Alan Mark Steven's Specials of the Week.
I don't know why Steven doesn't do that rhyme every single time. It's so good.
I honestly forgot about that part, so I attacked it at the end. But I forgot. It works nicely. Yeah, starting with... I'm actually going to start on Sunday, March 31st, with this.
Whoa. I didn't know you can release things on Sundays.
Yeah, this past Sunday, March 31st. Bang Young-guk, former member of BAP, as well as a soloist in his own right, released an EP titled 3. This is his second EP and fourth overall release, as well as his second release under YY Entertainment after signing with them in March 2023. Bang Young-guk produced the EP himself, all 5 tracks, along with COE and Coup d'Etat, having writing credits on all 5 of those songs as well. And also, there are credits from Samuel Ku, Rico Green, Ronnie Icon, KO, Kairos, Celotron, and Yuha. And Yuha also appears on the track Bad. That was a way to kick off this week. Not sure if there's a title track on that, because he released music videos for all 5 songs when the album came out. So I guess it's all of them are singles. Next up, on Monday, April 1st, we have a release from Quer, Q-W-E-R, with the mini album Manito, well-ed with the title track TBH. Quer is a 4-member band under 3Y Corporation and Tamago Production. This is their second release since debuting October 2023, and this is their first mini album. Credits on this album include Elum, Gesture, Monotree, as well as their bassist Magenta. She has credits on their title track TBH. Their leader/drummer Chodan, she has credits on multiple B-sides, and every member of this band also has writing credits on the B-side G9JB. Check out Quer. they're actually pretty fun. All girl band, fun, like happy anime vibes there. Right. Next up, Tuesday, April 2nd, we have Nowadays. It's a debut. They are a new 5-member boy group under Cube Entertainment. So Nowadays is debuting with a single album titled Nowadays, just self-titled. The name comes from combining the words now and days in hopes to make special memories with their fans now in the present day, as well as the days to come. The self-titled single album has three tracks, including writing credits from Decade, Kairos, Cielo Groove, as well as Nowadays member Jinhyuk. And one of the members, the leader Hyunbin, was a contestant on 2019's Produce X 101 as a Source Entertainment trainee. New group debut, and as Steven always says, good luck to Nowadays. Moving on to Wednesday, April 3rd, we have a new release from IM of Monsta X. This is his third solo EP titled Off the Beat, his second release under Sony Music Korea after leaving Starship in 2022. IM wrote and produced every track, with Wookie co-writing four songs, including the title track Lure, and Long Drive and The Need co-writing the other two. And lastly, what I have listed here, Friday, April 5th, we have a pre-release single from Yuki of G-Idle. This is a pre-release single for leading up to her Korean solo debut coming up on April 29th, titled Could It Be? It's a song that she previously performed during G-Idle's I Am Freety World Tour. I'm gonna save her good luck for when Steven maybe mentions that once her EP is actually released. five releases for this week, and that is what you wanted and what you needed, I guess. I don't remember how Steven ends these.
I think he's like, and those are my specials of the week. I think that's what I remember. Then I go, thanks, Alan, Mark, Steven. Steven, Mark. I'll go with that one. Thank you for the amazing specials. Delicious, since it's just you. I know how much you love when I say delicious. I don't think it has that oomph. I feel like I don't have the right microphone. The Shure makes the bass pop more. I'm using a Rode mic, so I don't know if it's going to come across well, but hopefully it does in the mix. All right, let's talk about the main topic of this episode. I'm kind of excited. I mean, it's been a while since we talked about anybody from this label. Like, I feel like I don't even remember the last time. So it's really excited to get back. I feel like we've just doing Hybe after Hybe after SM after who else or whatever. So it's really great to come back into this space. So Alan Mark, would you do all of us the favor of spreading some spicy info about the group we're talking about?
Sure thing. It's interesting that, or it's funny how we're on our... Yeah. This is our 127th episode, and we're finally stopped talking about SM groups.
This should have been the
NCT 127 episode. That's the schedule. Sometimes it just
that was last week.
We don't talk about YG groups a lot. I think we talked about Blackpink twice, and then Icon when they were still under YG. I think that's it. We have another one. So, for this episode, I'm gonna add a dash. I wanna talk about Baby Monster, the newest group from YG Entertainment. Baby Monster, also known shorthand as Baymon, is a girl group under YG Entertainment. Word of a new YG group started floating around way back in like 2018. I do vaguely remember this, with an official announcement finally happening on December 30th, 2022, with the subtitle YG Next Movement being announced. And then in 2023, sort of similarly to other YG groups in the past, a reality show titled Last Evaluation aired, showcasing seven trainees who would potentially be part of the new group. Five-member group was originally planned, but they determined that all seven would end up debuting. These trainees, ranging from one O2 liner, and the rest ranging from 05 to 09 liners includes Korean members Ayeon, Rami, and Rora, Japanese members Ruka and Asa, and Thai members Farida and Chiquita. After the show aired, Baby Monster would release a pre-debut promotional single titled Dream on May 14th. Then later on in that year, Baby Monster would release their first single, Batter Up, on November 27, 2023, followed by the single ballad, Stuck in the Middle, on February 1st, 2024. Both of those releases with only six members, while member Ayeon was on hiatus due to health reasons. But soon after, Ayeon would return from her hiatus, just in time for Baby Monster to make their official seven-member debut on April 1st, 2024, with the EP Baby Monster, with the T being a seven, featuring the lead single Sheesh, as well as full seven-member versions of their previously mentioned singles. And that's the release we're talking about today.
I was taking a look, just wanted to make sure that we were factually correct about the fact that we talked about Blackpink, we talked about Icon, but technically we all did. We talk about, did we cover Big Bang Still Life?
Oh yeah, yeah, Big like Bang. Yeah, that was released under YG still. So yeah,
YG, and then we've done AKMU a bunch of times.
Oh yeah, we did AKMU once.
Twice. Oh, was it once?
I think we only did it once. Yeah, AKMU's, yeah. I forget AKMU's YG because they're sounding.
I always
so
forget. I just feel like they're too independent sounding to be a YG group. Yeah. For some reason.
So. I mean, if you want to include Black Label stuff as well, then there's Zion T.
Yeah.
That's like
yeah. Do we do a Lehigh?
No, we never covered Lehigh. Just Steven bringing up her songs like multiple times.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, that's why it feels like we did. Okay, all right. Just listeners, if you're going to fact check us, email us. I just wanted to make sure that we corrected ourselves before that.
But episode 127, you must fact check us.
Yes. Yeah. There's a image to uphold. So, but like Alan Mark was saying, we really haven't talked about a YG group in a very long time. And it's great to come back to a new girl group. I feel like this is the biggest girl group, right, that YG's ever taken upon.
Seven.
Yeah, so
amount of members wise for sure,
right?
They've only
yeah.
done
I saw
four tets.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So that's why it's like it's really interesting to see, to not only have a debut girl group from YG, but for them to kind of break their mold, to kind of I think that's a good way to kind of bring this group up, is because I really, as we start talking about them, I really want to see them try to like evolve the perception and notion of what they can be as a group, but also what a YG, like not only girl group, but just a YG artist can be, because I feel like when you have Hive, when you have even SM, like you can hear staple sounds and everything like that, but I really feel like the variety is what's going to be crucial. And I know I should probably be saying this for the last call, but I think there's a reason why I think YG has been leaning on what I feel like has just been, if anything, Blackpink. I mean, there's obviously, I said AKMU, and there's all like a whole bunch of other like soloists and out there. But when you think right now, when you think of YG, you think of Blackpink. And so I think for me, it was just nice to not talk about Blackpink, even though I'm probably going to bring them up in some way in our discussion of Baby Monster. But I'm excited to cover this group. Yeah, I think let's just get right into it. So, like Alan Mark said, they released some pre-debut songs, one last year and one 2 months ago. But we're gonna focus on just the two new tracks. We can do the intro if you want to as well. But we're gonna focus on the the two newest tracks that have been added to this album or this EP, Sheesh and Like That. So Sheesh is the official single, so we'll start off with that. But I don't know if you want to talk about anything about Monster. Go ahead, I have no notes. Me neither. The only note I can probably say that it is that it's great. And just like with every intro track that I listen to nowadays, I just wish I had more of the intro track. Like it just they're not, it's not an intro anymore. It's just like an abridged version of a song. Mm-hmm. So it sounds great enough to be fleshed out a little bit more. But I think we're here to talk about Sheesh.
Mona and Mona, I see you in slow-mo, and know you're in trouble.
I want to start off with the fact that when I first heard the song in like a K-pop What's New playlist, my first thought was, oh, is this a new Blackpink song? Because there is a lot of like YG code in this single. Like I had to like do a second guess to be like, wait, this doesn't sound like Blackpink, but it sounds like Blackpink. And then I looked and I was like, oh, it's Baby Monster. Okay, there you go. Now I know Batter Up came out as well, and that was also very much YG coded. But I mean, my at first blush, like, I don't think I mean, it just sounds like a YG song. Like, it just, it sounds like, I don't know. There were moments in the song that I was like, oh, that's cool. But I couldn't help but disassociate Blackpink from this song. I just felt like they hit the same beats, they hit the same moments. I felt like, oh, this is a, like, it could have been a Blackpink song. I don't know. I was like, okay, this is the Jisoo moment. This is the Lisa moment, you know, all that stuff. So I was just kind of like, was that your first impression as well? Or like, did you kind of, were you able to separate Blackpink?
Absolutely not. I think it's even less of a, I mean, it's definitely like a Blackpink as like the model for this. Yeah. I also just think it's just a standard YG sort of formula that they're following. And I'll even mention that visually too when we get to the music video, but like just the song itself, it's like, I think at first, like, it started off interesting to me with, like, the piano.
The piano was great.
And the bass line on that. Like, it gave it a darker edge, like a more, like, horror-style edge that I don't think I was as used, like, YG doesn't, like, paint that type of palette audibly often. But then, like, it was a very short verse and just got into that pre-chorus. It swerved right into that,
just so
that
quickly.
YG sound. I'm like, okay, so yeah, we're back to sort of what we were hopefully not expecting. But yeah, it just like
that first verse part that sounded like Rosé was singing it, and then the part that's like, na 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 na,
yeah,
na na na. I was like, oh, is this Jisoo now? Like, is that who we're transferring? Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, gosh, yeah. I really wanted, spoilers, I'm going to talk more highly of Like That for specific reasons, but it'll make sense when we get to that. But for Sheesh, I was saying the title of the song when I was hearing parts that I was like, I've heard this before, I've heard, like, you know, I just feel like there must be some subsect of K-pop stands that are just like, this is my jam, I want to listen to this type of music all the time. And it's just like, for me, for covering K-pop for so long now, I've just been like, I know which samples you're pulling from on Splice. Like, I know which ones, like, I can hear it. It's it's not only like so you said the YG formula. For me, it's that what instrument always plays in like a YG song. It's in the chorus. It's kind of like a wind instrument.
Yeah.
I forget what instrument that really is, but that to me is just YG. And if I hear it, I'm like, I don't even need to know anything about the song. I was just like, that's a YG song. So I would have to say, like, I'm not surprised, I'm not disappointed, but I'm also left thinking, like, there was so much more potential with more voices. Not only that, but like the internationality of the group. Like, I feel like you could have just really just spread it all out. Like, you didn't have to, like, it's almost like two people had to fill in the mold of like a Blackpink member. Like, and I was just like, that's for me how I was treating the song, and I did not want to do that because I feel like these seven idols are like so different from Blackpink. Like they feel, I don't know. I feel like when I, and we'll talk about it in the music video, but looking at their faces, I'm like, I don't see Blackpink at all. Like, this is not who I want to think about. And I would love to just break the mold. Like, you don't, maybe this is just their, like, since it's the debut, like, here's the YG track that you have to do. Like, yeah, if you're gonna be on YG.
Yeah, I know. I just feel like, yeah, from a listener perspective, just like, I don't know why for YG with their, like, supposedly like big name groups, they're not trying to create fresher sounds, in my opinion, because it's like, we know that, like, it works. Like, Blackpink definitely worked with how big they got. And even that, like, it is like a, there is like distinct Blackpink sounds in there. But also it stems back to like 21 and Big Bang a little bit as well. I feel like there's a lot of, there's a formula there too, that at least there's some, like, some update to it with Blackpink. But yeah, I think it's not like aren't too far removed from like Blackpink's, their sound, but it's like been 8 years since they debuted, so it's like, in that 8 years, like, sure, how that is, like, sort of become, like, that's the song that I feel like is morphing the sound. Like, we're still like quite a bit of years away from that. It's like, you can't at least freshen it up a little bit, and I think that's the frustrating part for me, because it's like, I want to, like, enjoy the music and, like, new songs and new music and stuff, and there are definitely, like, very enjoyable parts of this song, but yeah, if they keep evoking to the same things without bringing in, I don't know, different, like, sounds, as you mentioned, like, they're using the same like instruments, like sampled instruments as before, at least similarly sounding stuff, like those sweeping synths that make the song bombastic are usually like the same ilk. And just like, I don't know, it's a completely different group that are all very talented. It feels like they're trying to keep the YG-ness of their releases over establishing, like, some sort of new identity for a brand new group, so.
Yeah, are they thinking, like, oh, Blackpink is on the, I mean, Blackpink will always be Blackpink, but we need this next generation's Blackpink, like, we need the fourth generation Blackpink, and maybe that's what they were banking on with this group, is just for them to take over. Because I feel like Blackpink is now beyond Blackpink, and they are all individual idols doing their own individual great things. And the most recent one, the Born Pink one, was just almost like a, like, oh yeah, we're still Blackpink, so we're going to gift you this album, and we're going to gift you this, these very, like, catchy and great songs. But even, like, when they performed the Coachella, I felt like I was looking at them more individually than I was collectively, because they had just individually surpassed, like, all of them have had solo careers, all of them have, like, identities, like, outside of K-pop. So it's kind of like, I felt like maybe this is YG thinking, like, okay, Blackpink is the time is, we're at the tail end now of Blackpink. We need our new Blackpink, or, you know, we need our new 21, we need our new Blackpink. And so maybe that's the plan, and eventually things will change, but maybe not. Yeah, honestly,
I mean,
like, if I hear,
if that is
the second
plan,
single,
if that's their plan, I don't think it's a good plan.
No, I don't think so either. Like it's such a disservice to this generation who is very clearly the fourth gen, that is, who's very clearly defined what the sound is. And it's almost like we're at the point now where Idol is making a tribute homage song in the style of old YG. And so it kind of feels like if you're going to copy that sound, it's almost like you're also doing the same thing as opposed to standing out and becoming a new group. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't even know what to say more about this song, because it's just like, I feel like I'm a broken record with these things. It's just like,
yeah, I think,
I mean, when we first started, sorry, I was going to say, when we first started All You Can Eat, I was like coming off like my apex of like Blackpink fandomness, and like, and then eventually the fourth gen really took over for me. But yeah, I would say like, just go back to the first episode of All You Can Eat. You could probably find like one-to-one commentary with Sheesh, just like, oh, the bombastic sounds, the energy, the power. Like, it just felt like there's moments where they're just, it feels like, like, you know, empowering girl power. Like, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like that's already reserved for one group in my mind. Yeah. And
we can't blame Teddy Park for this either, because he's not on this. He's not
producing anything. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm like, oh, no.
I know. That's so weird.
This is fully a YG thing.
Yeah, I know. I was like, it's so weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
so weird.
Yeah. Like, and even like outside of like, you know, trying to make assumptions of what YG is trying to do and how they're trying to promote, it's like, regardless of that, the sound that they put out with Sheesh is still feels outdated, because it's like, this is a song that would have been really big and made sense late third gen, early fourth gen, like for sure, like if it's there. But then we're like 6 years removed from that, and the, not necessarily even what is popular now, but then just like, I feel like K-pop has moved in directions where it's just sonically like sort of just moved away from it. I don't think it's necessarily like they've grown out of it. It's just, it's moved away in a way. And if you want to bring that back, it needs to be more innovative, which I don't think this song is.
No, not at all. Like, it, I'm like kind of popping in different sections in the song, and I'm just kind of thinking like, no, I'm trying to. Okay, so the saving grace I think I have for this song is that, again, there's so much potential for these artists, because they sound wonderful. They like, the rap lines are fantastic. Like, they, I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, they're hitting the Lisa lines great, but like they sound great as a group. Like, I think collectively, like, especially as a seven-member group now, it's just like the sound feels, it's harder for me to like be like, oh, this is the, you know, this is the Jennie part, this is the, you know, geez, like, it's hard for me to do that now, because, oh, one, I also am learning the groups for the first time, but also I feel like they are just so much, I don't know, it's hard for me to put my finger on exactly, but it's just, I don't know, it just sounds different. It's different enough for me to be like, I can tell the vocals are just feeling like they need to copy something, but they really want to be something else. Mm-hmm. And so that's like really my takeaway. I mean, I'm way out of the lexicon of Gen Z's right now, but are people still saying Sheesh?
No, that was my first thought too. I thought that was like,
yeah.
I don't know if the kids these days are the teens. Honestly, I feel like when teens were doing like saying Sheesh a lot, they're probably not teens anymore. I feel like it was very like a very popular like 2 to 4 years ago.
But then
it's like, I don't.
If anything, the song should be called Riz.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Even that's, I feel like, is on its way.
Yeah, so I was very surprised. It's like
mid, maybe.
Yeah. Granted, like the Sheesh part is quite catchy. I will say that it is quite catchy because of the cadence of and the the rhythm of it, but I'm like, that also just feels outdated a little bit. But I mean, you talk about the other performing aspects too. Like, I mean, there are like small sections of the song that I really, really like still. The rap part you mentioned, the second verse, that was great, particularly. I think it's Asa that comes in the second half of the rap.
Mm-hmm.
I like how like the cadence and intonation of her rap is. It's just, it's too short. It's only 6 bars, which is like, it's like right when you establish the rhythmic pattern of how you're going to rap, it ends. And I'm like, oh, I easily could have done with like 10 more bars of that. But no, they just... Yeah. Cut it real abruptly, and I'm like, well, okay, just to keep a song under 3 minutes, I'm like, okay, sure.
Speaking of like other catchy parts, I do like the when they spell baby mon. I do like that part. But yeah, I'm just trying to find some nice things to say. Yeah, because even the bridge is like I don't know. I feel like I've heard it before, where they like kind of half time the. I don't know if it, even know if it's a half time, but like, but it's still that YG sound that
the marching snares that build up to the
right.
Outro.
It's just like I was like, we get it. Here's the dance break.
I will say that what I do like, their vocal line is very, very strong. And it shows.
Oh, yeah.
Not that any of the other vocalists in past YG groups aren't as good. I feel like the other vocalists are more, like, I feel like they're more known for their signature, like, tone and, like, timbre of the voice. While I feel like this vocal line, it's very just like, oh, these are strong like vocalists
These are capital S singers.
Yeah, like they could belt really well. Like they have, they have like strength when they do any sort of like run when they are given the opportunity to run, which is not often. It's like, no, these are like clear like singers and in this group. But yeah, I just want more of it, and like more of actually like
I let know. Them
unleash their talent a bit like freely.
You're talking about the vocal line. I just music video alone, promotional images, whatever. I always skew towards the maknaes, but it was no brainer for me. I'm a Chiquita Banana fan, like right from the jump. Like that is her moments in the song are what stood out to me, and it's just I'm just planting my flag now for myself. That might change later, but it's nice to stan a Thai idol in a K-pop group.
They got two. Two Thai idols in this.
You know what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what? That makes sense, cuz Lisa's my never mind. If you're Thai and you're in YG, I'm probably going to stan you.
Be a fan.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. I think this is a good time to move into the music video. You were talking about how there were moments in it that seemed very prototypical of YG. Were you also saying like very typical of like a Blackpink music video? Is that what you're also saying?
I think I YG in general. I guess the most recent examples would be Blackpink. So, yes. But yeah, it's like the very just like built sets, you know, that are like narrow built sets they use a lot. Also, like there are certain scenes also very shiny, which just makes me think of YG music videos. But yeah, it's the music video itself, like I think it follows similarly of another YG formula of just having like these, you know, one room built sets for individual members that they just like shoot out of. And I think the more and more they do these, like the less like impressed I am with them, because they like just feel so fake. It's like clearly a built set.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, yeah, we've gone to the point where more and there's more music videos sets. Have been doing like live sets and stuff like that, at least. But
yeah, oh, yeah.
There's just yeah.
more locations.
Yeah.
Or like real life locations.
Yeah, but this is just, you know, it just feels yeah. like
again, I can easily it's, break it's down adding some to of these the... doors.
Just like, they're going to break easily. I don't know. These walls could, like, what are they made out of?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
if,
visually,
if these walls could talk, they wouldn't because they would break down easily. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Some if we're going to use the same comparison as, like, as we did with the song, I do want to jump in the fact that even when the chorus hits, when the sheesh part happens, I just feel like that's a very YG-esque camera movement where they like, even the choreography seems like it needs to be simple enough to like hit. I was telling you, I was going to bring up, is it pronounced Islet? Islet?
I think so. I think that's what Steven said last time.
Islet, because I've seen, like, then spell it with an S, like an isle.
Oh.
You know, like an island. Anyway, Islet. Even with, like, Islet's magnetic, like, the choreo is getting so intricate now. Like, this is not, like, you have to be able to finger tut in order to copy these, like, these new dance crazes. Mm-hmm. And so, just to see, like, just a simple, like almost like a whoa kind of movement, like it just feels like, again, stuck in the past as far as like what's the most impactful move we can do, a big pound and like a stanky leg at the same time, and then even with the camera, how it just like just sheeshes with you to like add more impact, like it just feels like that's just like a very Blackpink kind of move to show. And it just, again, I did not want to think of a Blackpink this entire time. I was just like, I want to give this group much more room, much more like potential, but it's just like YG's making me think only one thing. And there's a lot of black, I guess. There's no pink. No. I think there's more color. Yeah. It's, if anything, this should be called black white, I guess. I don't know. But even the whole Blackpink, the Blackpink name, there's the black side and the pink side. In this one, there's the baby side and the monster side. It just feels like, I don't know.
Not, yeah. For me, what are we doing here? Super inspired. I did like the shots when they were all behind like the portraits in that one room.
Yes, that's, that one like, was great. I felt like it was in the Disneyland
set,
ride.
And that shot I thought was really good and actually was like quite inspired. But other than that, everything else was just like, okay, like these are other sets that may have been used in the past and they just updated. But yeah, the choreography, I didn't mind too much. I think
that's good.
It is a little bit like nice that it's not super complicated and probably helps them focus on more of the vocal parts. I don't know. But other than that, like the music video doesn't like do much for me much in the same way because of everything else I've already
it's
said.
It's like one stage to another stage to another stage.
Yeah. Like there aren't a lot of like, besides the dance sets, there aren't like full group sets that they do. I think the rappers got their own set in one time, but then otherwise, like it's individuals and then dance break sets, and that's it.
I'm all for the rap line though. Like,
yeah, the rap line's
they're good.
I enjoy the rap line a lot.
They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the fact that they gave them the narrow hallway, like perfect. Like it just, and their outfits, wonderful. Like it just, I don't know. For me, I think the trend seems to have been going with big girl groups, like as far as K-pop goes. And so it makes sense that why we have we had a 6 to now 7 member YG group. And I think they're going to learn a lot of lessons, learn that they're gonna have to like change the formula. And so like this release just screams like not a kicking and screaming type of moment, but just more like we have to at least be true to ourselves in a way. So we'll have to see what the next. I mean, even Batter Up, the music video for that, I would say Stuck in the Middle. That felt different to me.
Yeah,
like that for sure was like a. That's a great song, and like the music video as well felt like it would have been like a Twice song or something like that.
But
like
also,
it just felt
YG weird. Always pairing one of their high energy singles with a ballad single.
Yeah.
Thinking of like Stay when they released that with when Blackpink released Stay along with Playing with Fire. It's like that's just
You're right. Still forming. Okay. We'll see. Maybe. I mean, what's the trend now? Like. I feel like we keep bringing up Baltimore Bounce or Jersey.
I think you just said Jersey Club.
Jersey Club, that's what you said, yeah. That's a trend, YG. I don't know, country? Well, no, we did country already. I don't know. Anyway, YG, I know you're listening to this pod because it's one of the premier K-pop podcasts out there. Just mix it up, you know, just it's okay, you can still do what you do, just you know, maybe think about it in a more modern lens, you know. Oh well, use different instruments, do the same formula, but just we don't need the same sample from Splice, same volume sample from Splice used every single time, like the I feel like it's the flute that you would use for like snake charming or something. Mm. Something. It's like giving me that vibe. But anyway, that's it. That's it for Sheesh. Do you have anything more you want to say?
No.
I mean, okay. I'll end with this. It's not a bad song. It's just not a song that we need right now. That's all. That's my opinion of it. Like, it just feels like I know this song, the formula is good, but you know, tastes change. Maybe you just need a variety of things. But
yeah, I think it's just perfectly mid.
Ooh, look at you. Wow. Talk about using a term that's actually up to date. All right, when we come back from break, we will talk about Like That, and I think it's pretty obvious what our favorite song is. It's not on this album. No, I'm kidding. We won't play that game because, you know, Steve's not here, but we'll at least talk about what we liked. Yeah, we'll give you our last call. So go grab some water, go make yourself an impossible burger patty, whatever you want to do during this break, and when we come back we will see you on the B-side. All right, welcome back to the B-side. We will talk about one more track on Baby Monster's first mini album, Baby Monster 7er. We're going to talk about track number 3, Like That. I see that look upon your face, something my mind cannot embrace. If I keep staring, then I might have. Listeners, if you do not know, this Like That is actually a Charlie Puth song. Not Charlie Puth saying it, but it's a Charlie Puth created song that he gifted to Baby Monster. And are you wondering why he did that? Well, if you were paying attention to anything K-pop last year, Aeon or Ion. I'm gonna go with Ion. Did a cover of Dangerously last year, and because of that, Charlie Puth was like, "Wow, that's incredible!" And so, like, as a thank you for doing cover of one of his songs, I think she did it when she was a trainee.
Oh, it must have been during the show.
During the show, evaluation. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm reading now. The actual cover amassed 39 million views. So that was just one way to like bridge the gap between Charlie Puth and K-pop. Not that he needed much, because I've seen a lot of videos of Charlie Puth listening to K-pop songs. What did he do? Technically it's not K-pop, but I think I saw him kind of listening to XG, and he was just like saying, "Yeah, that's cool. That song's cool." Anyway, so as a thank you, he straight up made a song for Baby Monster, and that's the song we're going to be talking about. It's entitled Like That. It's track number 3, and Alamark, we talked about how Sheesh felt like a Blackpink song. Did you feel Charlie Puth's energy in this song? And did you enjoy the gift that Charlie Puth gave Baby Mon 7er?
Yeah, so I actually didn't know all that background information on this song, so that's great. Okay. okay. I did see that Charlie Puth was the writer on this, which is cool, but I didn't know that, all of that. But I mean, listening to it more, I'm like, oh yeah, there's like definitely a Charlie Puth, like a Puthness to this song. but I mean, even I think I listened to the song first before looking at the credits.
Me too.
So I mean, seeing Charlie Puth makes more sense, but when I was listening to it, it felt like a really fun like throwback to like Y2K, not in the way that like we like quote unquote see Y2K today with how like New Jeans is doing it visually and like all this old like flip phone stuff, but like it reminded me of like R&B and pop from back then, where it had like a running motif of a guitar or some sort of other like sampled instrument, along with like a syncopated beat, like TLC's Fan Mail album comes to mind when they released No Scrubs.
Ooh, okay, I like where you're going Christina with this. Aguilera, that's not where I went, like, but sort of, I'm there now.
It gave me that sort of like it feels like this song could have been, like, not could have been released back then, because it feels much more modern than that. But I feel that there was some influence from that era, and I think it suits them really well. It's very like vocal forward, which is really like good for them, because even the rappers are good vocalists too. Like Ayeon, which you mentioned that sang Dangerously, is like, I think, one of their rappers on the usually. So like Charlie Puth writing for this, for them, like, he knew what he was doing here. He and Jacob Asher Hindlin, or what does he go by?
By the vocalist,
Jay Cash, the other vocals songwriter along with it. Like, they, like, maybe from judging from their performances on their show, like, they knew how to craft a song that suited them. And this, like, I feel like they could build off of an identity off of this song much more than they can do with their singles.
Me too. Yes,
this suits,
I agree,
their voices really nicely. It,
whoop,
it's
yep,
both
yep,
nostalgic,
yep,
but also feels modern enough that it can keep up with where like pop is today. So this is a very welcome, like, part, definitely a super welcome part of the album. So I'm very thankful that Charlie Puth did that.
I think it's safe to say, out of the two songs that we're covering, this is our favorite one out of the two. But before I knew the Charlie Puthness about the song, I was actually thinking that this was composed by Ed Sheeran, because it really sounds an Ed Sheeran song when he's trying to be cool and poppy and like hip. Like, that's what, because this song sounds like, "Girl, you know I want your love, na 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 na." Like, that, it sounds like that song, but not the part where he goes, "No, no, 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 no." But it has that same kind of, like, it, you know, it's really the guitar that really keyed me into Ed Sheeran, and it's just like,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, like it has like a very, you know, really solid repetitive beat, and then like the like, oh god, I forgot the phrase, but it's when you're like singing, almost singing just like a very like flat rap, or like a rap line like as a chorus. But anyway, aside from that, then I found out it was Charlie Puth, and I started keying in on what I, because I'm a big Charlie Puth fan, I know exactly his style, and this is, again, very much a great, great Charlie Puth song, and I feel like it could have just been one of his, like, TikTok videos that he just decided to be like, you know, I'll just get this to them. Could have been like that. Because, like, the sample, like, we all know Charlie Puth, very famous for his perfect pitch, but he's also very famous for the fact that he takes samples from locations that we wouldn't normally think to take a sample from for a song. Meaning he likes objects. He likes the sounds that objects make. And so I wonder what that like little like Morse codey beepy portion of the song was, because I have a feeling that it's from some sort of just electronic device that he decided to just like repeat over and over again. But aside from that, like, there was a, I know Charlie Puth's like pop style, and like this is very much coded in a Charlie Puth way, and again, to take the title of the song, I really like that. It's just very easy pop, and very I just want to go off of what you were saying, but how it like really suits them well, because I thought the same thing. It just, I feel like this is not a, like, the fact that you got Charlie Puth in, like, perfect, because he does not know what YG sounds like, so he just only knows what he sounds like, and that is, I think, the key for this group's success. Is just don't be a YG group. No, it's just do this, just collab with more, like, get other people to other producers that you wouldn't normally want to go to really let this group shine, because like this song is fun. It's a real poppy pleasant song to listen to, and it just, yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's slowly becoming more of a bop for me, but
I don't have a lot more to say about the song, but it is such an enjoyable song to listen to. Like, it is repetitive. Mm-hmm. It is like, it doesn't build up a lot, but it doesn't necessarily need to, in my opinion, because the parts that are in there are already, feel like, crafted really well. Like, the top line is really good. And the, like, that, whatever that sample that mirrors the top line, like, is a nice touch. The guitar samples are really good. Like, I think this is where like simplicity is really like all you need in a pop song sometimes.
I think what I can safely say for myself is that I really wish YG just lets them do more songs in this genre, or just any genre, really.
Yeah.
just let them sing. Like, let the vocals, like, I think that's the real key, is just let them be themselves and not trying to be like anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, there's creativity and collaboration, and maybe that's the thing that, you know, they gotta do more of, because it's been a lot of the same producers and stuff. And I don't know much about the producers for the other tracks, like Jared Lee. There's also one of the members from Treasure helped co-write stuff from them. Maybe, I don't know if just like an insular thing where it's just like a lot of YG in there, or... And I think ultimately, like, A&R like chooses the songs, or how they combine different parts of written songs into one. Like, yeah, we don't know quite what the writing process is for a lot of these, but what we do know is sort of the output that gets to us. And, you know, I don't think we're also not alone in thinking these same things. So, that's almost touched on a little bit of last call, but I think that's why stuff like that turns out to be really refreshing, even though it, you know, is a pretty like standard but good pop song, but that ends up being refreshing and stands out because it differs from what else they put. So,
well said. Okay, I think that was our last call, wasn't it? No, just for the song, but okay. So there are obviously other tracks. Normally we do like the single and like three other tracks, but we're gonna just stick it to these two songs just because, you know, it's a ham episode. We just keep it simple here.
Yeah.
Did you
like Batter Up or Stuck in the Middle?
You know what? I did not like Batter Up because it did still sound like a YG song, but I love Stuck in the Middle, and I also really enjoyed the remix at the very end. It was a really nice, fun dance version of the song. So, but yeah, what about you?
Batter Up? Like, okay. Whatever. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Batter Up
for sure.
Like, Lee Chan-hyuk co-wrote that one, so it's just like, yeah, I could pick out like maybe what he helped out with, but Stuck in the Middle I didn't listen to a lot of. I don't think I had the patience for that type of ballad these past couple months, but it's a good ballad. I just I don't have less of an opinion of it because I didn't listen to it, so can't say for sure if I liked it or not.
That's fair. This is the part, people, where we do one last call, but I feel like we've been doing kind of a last call in general.
This is a last like call full episode.
We just skip straight to it where we just refer back to the songs. Yes, but I think it's safe to say that we are very excited for this group for a YG girl group. Hey, Jin. We are very excited for this group, and really. You know, it is a YG group, so you can only expect so much, but we're expecting a lot of big things because this is a very talented group, in my opinion. And so I think it's only fair, YG, if you allow them to really shine. So I think he really likes the microphone.
Yeah, so, he does really like the microphone.
Are you going to be a podcaster? Are you going to take over for your papa? Are you going to like K-pop? Okay.
Yeah, someone's got to represent fifth generation, I guess.
Do you have any last call?
Not much more than what I've already said, but I do think, I mean, this group, we already know, is very talented, great singers, great dancers, performers, rappers. So I think as long as, maybe, I don't know if they're thinking too hard or not thinking hard enough, but it's like, I don't want to keep making assumptions, but as long as they like don't keep getting in the way of these performers, then they're gonna be like, you know, just as big as any other group that's out there today. I think it's just like we'll have to wait and see what they keep doing. YG doesn't release and promote too often, so it might be a while, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much, everyone, for choosing to dine with us. We really hope you enjoyed your stay, and we can't wait to have you back next time. I'm trying to, you know, incorporate more of our personal lives into, you know, the outro. So I usually do this at the very end, but I'm trying to make more of a conscientious effort to put it right up front. And what is that you're asking? Well, it's any shout outs, anything you want to say about what's going on in your life. And Alamark, I know you mentioned it last week that you would mention it this week. So I think you know what I'm talking about. Do you have anything to plug for your stuff?
Of course. Yeah. Still releasing Wednesday, April 10th. Is the at least from, I believe it's just the first episode. We'll see. Bayside Baseball's new tabletop RPG show titled Critical Hit. It's D&D, incorporating D&D and baseball into one fun game. It's going to be a 4-episode arc. I'm one of the players at the table on it. It was really fun. Maybe I'll post more on social so that I could also post that. Check it out. We'll most likely be I'll be pushing it out there because it was a lot of fun to do, and I think it'll be really fun to watch too. So keep an eye out for that. I think, oh, actually, Mark did tell me, I think it'll be up around 7 p.m. Pacific time. So keep an eye out around then.
You might have mentioned it, but just in case our listeners weren't paying attention, totally not like me, I was totally paying attention. Is it going to be available on YouTube as a podcast?
YouTube. It's fully visual. Yeah. So,
do I need to know baseball to watch this thing? Like how it's played?
Maybe. Yeah. It might be fun regardless. Yeah. Okay. I mean,
I just like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not super into baseball, but I knew enough and had a fun time. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I need. I need more tabletop, non-Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder. All that. I'm all for the new age tabletop role playing.
It is D&D mechanics that, and we use those classes. But yeah, completely homebrewed story from the GM Mark. Shout out. It was really fun.
You look really great in the teaser video as well, by the way. Really enjoyed all your outfits.
Yeah. Four outfits in 2 days.
Whoa. Wow. Did you have to change per episode?
We didn't have to. We were given the option, but all of us did, so.
I love it. Keep the illusion, the magic of television alive. I love it. Okay. All right. And I should also, Steven's not here, but we got to plug him as well. As always, you can listen to him. You can listen to DJ Tensorib. totally not Steven. But you can listen to DJ Tensorib spinning the ones and twos on Maker Park Radio. The show is called Extended Fam, or Extended Family, if you want. But be a part of the fam. Be a part of the family and check out Tensorib's bi-weekly stream. I don't remember what time it is. I believe it's 5 p.m. Eastern, right? Something like that. It's either 6 p.m.
Eastern.
So make sure to catch DJ Tensorib on Extended Fam, Maker Park Radio, and everything like that. All right. You can catch, like I said at the beginning, you can catch more episodes of How You Can Eat on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Follow us at How You Can Eat on all of your favorite social media platforms. And email us at howyoucaneat@gmail.com on your favorite email platform. Yes, I know. If you're still in Netscape Navigator, kudos to you. I don't even know if that's around anymore. Lycos, Excite, I don't know. Well, that about wraps it up for us. So, for Alamark and I, it has been our absolute pleasure being your leaders this week. So long, stay safe, and we'll see you next feast.
See ya. Sheesh.